Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled the message for this morning, Me First. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from 1 Kings chapter 17. I want to read 8 or 9 verses, but if you can get a Bible, follow along with me. This is the story of Elijah being sustained by the widow woman. We read beginning in verse 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You see, there was a mighty famine in the land at that time. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, a full year. Every day she went to that cruse of oil and that barrel of meal, and food would be there. Not a year's worth, but just enough for that day. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Now put yourself in this woman's place. A mighty famine was in the land, and she was going to make a meal, her last meal for her and her son. She was a very poor woman. She had no one to take care of her, for she was a widow. And she was going to make the last meal for her and her son, and then, as far as she knew, they were going to die. She didn't see any way out of this. And the prophet Elijah said to her, when he came to her, "Get me some water and make me some bread or a cake first. Don't worry about you and your son. You make me a cake first. Me first. And after that, you will be provided for." Now, how would you respond if someone said, when you were going to make your last meal for you and your son before you died, said, "You make me meal first"? You see, I wouldn't react very kindly to that, I do not believe. I would say, "Who are you to say that to me? I got to take care of my own." But she obeyed the prophet. I think it's interesting that this passage of Scripture has been used by TV preachers quite a bit. And they have used it in saying, "You send me money first, and then God will give you all these blessings." Now, those men are crooks that use this Scripture that way. That's not what this is meant. This is meant to teach us something of the gospel. Now, this is a phrase we learn very early. Me first. how quickly children use this phrase, me first, me first. And this is the way of life of the natural man, me first. And from this attitude arises selfishness, envy, jealousy, strife, ambition, false accusations, the stirring up of trouble, manipulation and deceit, abuse, suspicion, using people, dishonesty, lying and stealing. All of this arises from this attitude, me first. And I suppose that every sin comes from this attitude of me first. And you know, this attitude comes natural to every one of us. Me first. This was Satan's sin. He wanted to exalt himself above the throne of God. His attitude was that of me first. This was in the sin of our first parents in the garden. Me first. We want to be equal with God. We don't want to be under His thumb. Me first. This is the cause of every conflict. Me first. And this woman was like you and I by nature. Me first. So what did she feel? What did she think when the prophet said, you make something for me first, and then go make something for yourself? I'm sure that I would have felt indignation at that request. Now, I want to say this as reverently as I know how to say it. But God says, me first. God says, me first. With regard to everything, it's Him first. Our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. Don't get into that trap of always being concerned about what shall we eat, what shall we drink, whether with all shall we be clothed. After these things do the Gentiles seek. Your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. The King of the kingdom, His glory, His honor, obedience to Him. This is the divine order. God knows what our needs are, and He will not suffer us, not allow us to suffer for seeking first His kingdom. Now, it is only in this way, the poor widow giving to Elijah first, that she was going to be supplied miraculously for all of her needs. Now, when this woman was gathering up sticks to dress the meal for her last meal, she had no idea that God had commanded her to take care of Elijah. But God did command her to take care of Elijah. We read in verse 9 where God said to Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, she didn't know anything about it, but God had already made this commandment. You see, the Lord was secretly and powerfully working in her heart, making her willing to comply to the prophet's command. Psalm 110:3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Philippians 2:12 and 13 says, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. God is always at work, and He was at work in this woman's heart, making her willing to obey the prophet even before she knew anything about it. Now, I think it's interesting that the Lord Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry uses this woman that Elijah came to as a way of illustrating divine sovereignty. I'd like to read you a passage from Luke chapter 4 where our Lord was speaking. And he had been speaking, and some people said, "Is not this Jesus? He's no more than a carpenter." They were offended at his sayings and his claims, and they were upset. And the Lord uses this woman to illustrate divine sovereignty when he saw those people didn't believe. He said this, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent." All of these widows in Israel, God didn't send Elijah to one of them to preserve them. He only sent Elijah to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, a Gentile woman, a Gentile city, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, what is meant by sovereign? What do I mean when I speak of the sovereignty of grace, and the Lord uses this woman as an illustration of the sovereignty of divine grace? Well, sovereign means this. God is God. He's sovereign. He's uninfluenced. He's independent. He has a will. He has the power to make His will come to pass. He has the right to make His will come to pass. And He always does make His will come to pass. Daniel 4:35 says He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" His sovereignty is seen in creation when He willed this world into existence. His sovereignty is seen in providence. That's everything that happens in time. He's in control of. There is absolutely nothing that He's not in control of. He is the first cause behind all things. He's God. He rules. He reigns. To say God is sovereign is to say God is God, and He's most especially sovereign in salvation. You know who saved? Whoever He wills to be saved. Now that's the truth. Salvation is of the Lord. He said, "As the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will." If I'm saved, it's because He willed my salvation. And according to God's will, all of these widows in Israel were passed by. And He sent His prophet to this Gentile woman who was a widow, and He saved her. It works like this. I want to read a passage from Romans chapter 9, verse 11. It says, "For the children," talking about Jacob and Esau, twins, born, same parents, came out of the same womb. "For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Those are God's words. And remember this, God's hatred is not like our hatred. It's a perfect hatred. It's a hatred with regard to holiness and righteousness. That's what causes His hatred. He loves holiness. He loves righteousness, and He hates that which is contrary to Himself. But He says, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." What should we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair in loving Jacob and hating Esau? God forbid. For He saith to Moses, "I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God sovereignly showed mercy to this woman. It had nothing to do with her will or her actions, simply because He would. This is what is called sovereign grace. Now, I realize that most people believe in what they call free will, but you know, if you believe in free will, you can't possibly believe that God is sovereign. The two thoughts are incongruent. They exclude one another. If you believe God is sovereign, you believe He's sovereign over man's will, and He controls all. This woman is used by our Lord to illustrate divine sovereignty. He chose to save this woman. But this election was not only unto salvation, it was also unto service. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee, and she gave to the prophet first. Now, this poor woman, you know, she's actually a type of the person God saves. Poor, helpless, and cannot save or provide for themselves. She was ready to die, and she was going to make her last meal. And then the prophet comes to her, and he says in verse 13, And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. You make the food for me first. Now, she's had just enough meal to make one cake. And I have no doubt that when she made the prophet the meal first, there was nothing left. Her barrel was empty. Her cruse was empty. She used it all to make the prophet his cake first. But in doing that, she was going to have an inexhaustible barrel of meal and cruse of oil that would replenish itself every day, a miracle of God. Now he says, fear not. And the only reason we have to fear not is His Word. If He tells us to fear not, we have no reason to fear. You make me the cake first. You put all your trust in me. Me first. Don't seek to provide for yourself. Me first. Look to me only. Now, this is a very beautiful type of what faith is. This is a beautiful type of the gospel. Me first. Now, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I know whom I believed. Salvation is not a what, it's a who. Faith is not a what, it's a who. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Now, Paul had no plan B. He didn't have an ace in the hole. He didn't have a backup plan. All of his eggs were in this basket, that who Christ is and what He did is all I'm trusting to save me. And I've committed the very salvation of my soul to Him. I'm looking nowhere else. Sink or swim, I go to Him. Now, this is what this woman did. She used all of her meal. She didn't look to provide for herself. She used all of her meal to make the cake for the prophet first. Now, you make sure that you trust Him only first, and let nothing come between Him in your faith. He's first in all things. Now, you look at all the doctrines of the Scripture. Let's begin. I've mentioned it. Let's begin with election. God's choice of His people before time began. Now, God didn't look through time and see that you'd believe and therefore He chose you. Not at all. That's putting yourself first. He did it simply because you were in Christ, not because of something in you or what you would do. In justification, He comes first. You don't accept justification and God hands it to you. He justifies you. He justifies you by His righteousness. In His redemption. In redemption, Him first. He redeemed us. He redeemed us when we weren't even around. In regeneration. God doesn't say, let me exercise your free will to let me give you the new birth and then I'll give you the new birth. No, He births you into the kingdom of heaven. He is the source of faith and repentance. Faith and repentance are both the gifts of His grace. Him first with regard to every decision we make. Him first. Am I seeking His will? Am I seeking His approval? Am I seeking His favor? Am I seeking His glory and His honor? Him first, obedience to Him. He is that pearl of great price that when a man finds, he sells all he has to have that one pearl of great price. Now, when this woman made this cake for Elijah, she found an inexhaustible barrel of meal and a cruse of oil. Now, the meal and the oil represent something. The meal was that which was ground. This represents Jesus Christ and Him crucified, ground under the wrath of God as the sinner's substitute. When my sin was placed upon Him and He bore it in His own body on the tree as the sinner's substitute, God's wrath came down upon Him and ground Him. Now the oil represents the oil of the Spirit of God's grace, the work of Christ in you. Now here she had the work of Christ for you in the meal, the work of Christ in you in the oil, and she's given this promise, you will find this an inexhaustible barrel. You will never run out. If you have the work of Christ for you, this salvation is forever. If you have the work of Christ in you, this salvation is forever. It will not waste or come to an end. It will not fail. There's no such thing as grace failing. It is irresistible and it is invincible. Now here we have the sufficiency of God's grace. Now listen to me. If you trust Christ only, you have nothing else. You spend it all on Christ. You trust Him only. You leave nothing left. You have no mutual funds. You have no plan B. You look to Christ only as everything in your salvation. You look nowhere else. You know that all that God requires of you, He looks to Him for. And that's what you're relying on. You're relying on Him. Him only. Now, in relying on Him only, you have an inexhaustible barrel that will never waste. And you have a cruse of oil, the oil of God's Spirit, His invincible, irresistible grace that shall never fail. And she did what He said to do. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days. She did what He said to do. And there was only one reason why she did what He said to do. Because she believed that what He said would take place. She believed that if she made the prophet food first, not herself, not her son, but she believed if she made the prophet food first, that she would find that barrel inexhaustible, and that cruise inexhaustible. Her food and her oil would always be there. Now, she didn't have any evidence that this would take place but the Word of God. She couldn't look. When she took that food out to make it for the prophet, it was empty. She had no evidence that it was going to take place. But every day when she went there, she found new oil and new meal. A miracle of God's grace. And she would not have done that with the prophet unless she believed that that would take place. And like I said, all she had was the naked Word of God that would take place. She couldn't see the meal. She couldn't see the oil. She had the Word of God, the Word of God's prophet, and she believed what He said. Now, would this have taken place without obedience to the command? The answer is no, it wouldn't. If she would have refused, if she would have said to the prophet, who are you to ask me to use my last meal on you? I'm going to go and make it for myself and my son. My first responsibility is to him, and we're going to eat it and die. What are you doing asking me to do something like that? If she would have said that, you know what? She would have died, and she would have never had this. But verse 16 says, and the barrel of meal, she did obey the prophet's command, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. You see, only when we empty the barrel, when we put all of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust Him only. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to our evidences. We're not looking to our works. We're not looking to our experience. We're not looking to our intentions. We look to Him and Him only. We empty out the barrel and we look to Him and Him only. Only when we do that do we have everything provided. I think that it's interesting. She was not given a full year's worth right then, although she did have a full year's worth. I imagine that her house could have been filled with oil and with meal, and she would have had a full year's worth. But the Lord didn't do it that way. She was given enough for that day. And that's the way the Lord operates. Just enough today. She'd have to trust Him daily. Faith is always in the present. And Him first puts everything in its proper perspective. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Lord said to one man, "Follow me." And he said, "Suffer me first to go and bury my father." And the Lord said, "You let the dead bury their dead. You come and follow me." And then our Lord said in Matthew chapter 5, 24, "If you bring your gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go now first, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Do what you're supposed to first. And what about when our Lord was warning us about judging? "Judge not that you be not judged." And He said, "How can you say, let me pull the splinter out of your eye when you've got a beam in your own eye? First, get the beam out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly to get the splinter out of thy brother's eye. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Note that, His righteousness. Seek to only have His righteousness. Understand that His righteousness is the only righteousness that makes you accepted in His kingdom. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And the last thing I thought about was where our Lord said, when you're called to a feast, don't take the highest seat. That's the me first attitude. Don't take the highest seat. Take the lowest seat. And then you'll be called up higher. But if you take the higher seat, you're going to be brought back down. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from the me first and see Him first. We have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write or email, we'll send you a copy.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.